Now let's turn to 1 Kings chapter number 18. Through verse number 39. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. 1 Kings chapter number 18, verse 30 through verse number 39. Praise the Lord. Amen. I think most people's gotten there. We'll begin. It says, and Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and he cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time, and they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time, and they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, then Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. It says, then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for God again, for this opportunity that you've given us to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, that your word has proclaimed that when we gather in your name, God, that there you are in the midst of us. And I thank you that your spirit is here tonight. God, that you have sent the Holy Spirit into this place. God, to do a work in every heart and every life. God, young and old. And God, anyone in between. I believe that tonight. God, I pray that every heart would be receptive. God, I pray, God, that we would not tune it out as being for the older ones, or that we would not tune it out as being for the younger ones, or being for the ones sitting on our right or our left or in front of us or behind us. But God, that tonight our hearts would receive the word of God and be challenged and be strengthened tonight. And God, I pray that as the word of God goes forth, God, it would not be in my own ability. Because God, you know that I have no ability tonight. But God, I pray, God, for that anointing of the Holy Ghost, God, to speak the word of God through me tonight. And I thank you for it. And God, I believe that it'll be so. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. Amen. I don't want, you know, there's times that God lays a message on our hearts and the Holy Spirit has a different direction and a different way of doing things. And y'all understand and know how much Brother Chris loves the Word, and I believe in the Word of God. And matter of fact, I've been doing a little bit of study, and this is not my message, but just let me get in here just a little bit. I've been doing a little bit of studying on early Pentecost and when Pentecost was first reborn and revived in America. Matter of fact, today I was reading about Mariah Woodworth Eder and some history in her life and different ones there and kind of been a process I've been thinking about. And And you know, I found something I love. I want you to understand tonight. Amen. I come from old time Pentecost. Amen. I am old time Pentecost. Amen. I will never, with God's help. Amen. I don't want to build myself up as being something, because the Word of God says, if a man thinks that he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Amen. I know it's only by the grace of God. It is the grace of God. Amen. Matter of fact, Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. Amen. But as long as God will help me in it, and as long as I'll keep looking to God, I just don't want to be anything else.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. I don't want to be anything else. And I love the moving of the Spirit. I love what we experienced around this place even last Sunday night, and just lives being touched and lives being changed. I love dancing in the Spirit. I love shouting and rejoicing. You know, it's all right to get loud sometimes. How many knows that? Amen. It's all right just to go ahead and just let loose. And matter of fact, I was reading the other day. God help me, I got to get on this message that's on my heart. But I was reading the other day, and I was trying to remember who it was. One of the old camp meeting preachers I know who it was. It was oh my goodness, Azusa Street, Seymour, Richard Seymour, not Richard Seymour. Is it Richard? Was that his name? William Seymour. Anyway, it was Brother Seymour. Okay, that's what I call him. He was an uneducated black man, amen, that gave his heart, I'm talking about, so completely to God, and God began to use him. And God used Brother Seymour to begin the Azusa Street Revival. But I remember I was reading a testimony on him the other day, and it said that there was a very dignified, a very stately woman that came into one of his meetings one day before the meeting started, before the service started, And Brother Seymour was known. There was a milk crate of some kind that he preached behind, that they used as a pulpit, and he was known to be found with his head in that old milk crate, seeking God and praying. And you know, a thing about Brother Seymour, he preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues even before he experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking in tongues. But anyway. He was in there praying, seeking God, and this stately, very dignified woman came up and she told him. She said, "Brother Seymour," she said, "you know, I'm very impressed at what happens in the meetings as far as lives being changed. I'm aware of that." And she said, "But I just don't think that all the noise and being so loud is needful. I don't think that's necessary." And I love Brother Seymour's response. He said, "Well, sister," he said, "listen to me." He said, "there's not anyone that's asking you to get loud. There's not anyone. You just come on in and you just worship God and you just open your heart it doesn't matter to me if you shout or if you don't shout, if you stand up or if you stay seated anyway." And it says that the service began, and she told him, she said, "Well, don't ever expect me. I'm going to come to your meetings, and because I'm interested in this baptism of the Holy Ghost, but just don't expect me to act like the others act sometime." And he said, "Ma'am, I would never ask you to act like someone else is acting." And it said that Brother Seymour, the service began, and he expounded the Word of God, and they worshiped and all. And I can remember at some point during the service, all of a sudden in the corner of the building, there is a shriek and a yell and a scream, louder than anybody else in the room. And he looks up, and guess who it was? It was the little stately, dignified woman that said she was. And oh, let me tell you, they talked about that after the service, he came up to her and he said, "Now, sister, I thought you didn't like all this loud stuff. And it said she went jumping and dancing and hollering again and just rejoicing in. You know, I'm thankful tonight that you know, God, it isn't the jump or the shout or the noise, but you know, I'm just thankful that we can experience, amen, we can experience the power of an almighty God. And if we would open our hearts so completely, take every reservation off, amen, you know, I'm thankful that the Spirit of God brings liberty in our life. And I've seen people just as you have. Not everyone just gets, some people gets loud, some people don't. But I've seen people just sit or stand or kneel and just weep and weep and weep in the presence of God. You've seen them running and dancing and shouting and, you know, all. But, you know, the thing about it is there's no certain way. It's just being open to God. But I begin to look at that, and I've been studying it. I've been looking at different ones, and I know some of them had failures in their life. But John Dewey and Charles Parham and all these Pentecostal leaders that began the Pentecostal movement or rebirthed it in America, and I begin to look at that, and you know what, saints of God, the Word of God never lost preeminence in their services. The Word of God. And sometimes the preacher preached it when the service first started. It wasn't always the message necessarily that he had planned out throughout the week. But the Word of God, and you know, I begin to think, and I was thinking back through our services in the last few weeks and the way that God has been moving. And there's sometimes I've preached and there's sometimes that I haven't. But you notice that every time the Word of God goes forth, if it's not preached, something that God has laid on my heart or somebody's heart to preach. How many knows the Spirit of God speaks the Word? Every time, if you've noticed that, every time it's because either a message has been preached that God has impressed upon somebody's heart or a message has been preached through tongue and interpretation. And hey, we need the Word of God. Amen. We need and we must rely on the Word of God. And I encourage you, amen, to seek for the Spirit, but also to have a hunger for the Word of God in your heart. Amen. And I just believe that the fire of Pentecost and revival is just burning in this place. And I believe it's only going to grow. But I was thinking about the message God had laid on my heart last week for, I thought, Sunday night. And you know, I'm thankful that God doesn't always operate in what I think, you know. But I studied, and so after the service and Monday and Tuesday, I've been praying, God, I know that this message is on my heart and it's still burning and it's still there. But I don't want to preach it just because it's the one that I've studied. And God, I put this one on the back burner, and I can just give me your word for the hour. And so today as I came, and this word just continued to burn. This message continued to burn in my heart. And today I came up and I said, God, I was praying. I was walking around the church. God, this isn't really a message for youth. And I know that Wednesday nights is a time that we kind of preach messages that maybe appeal to the youth a little bit more. And then God spoke. I mean, just, he didn't speak audibly, but impressed into my heart. And he said, you know, what part of my word is not relevant for every age group? Doesn't matter if we're young or old, if we're rich or poor. Doesn't matter if we're anywhere. You know, I'm thankful. And I'm thankful tonight that if we will take the limitations off of it, there are no limitations on it. But sometimes it's our limitations that we put upon it that restrict it from impacting our lives. So my plea to you tonight is take the limitations off. Say, God, this message is a message that will apply to my life and help me to receive what I need to receive out of it tonight. Amen. The thought that I want to preach on is this: rebuilding the altar. Rebuilding the altar. Amen. The text that we read tonight, I mean, probably is one of the most familiar texts of the Old Testament. Amen. When Elijah, amen, and here the children of Israel had begun to worship Baal and begin to follow after a false god and had begun to neglect the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and they begin to stray away from the true God and begin to build altars and begin to set up images in the place of God and begin to worship those things. And God sent Elijah to Israel. Amen. God sent Elijah to his people. And Elijah, he gathered them together that day. Amen. It was those that worshiped Baal. And it maybe it was those few faithful believers that still worshiped Jehovah. Amen. And he got them together that day. And through the inspiration and the leading of God. And he said, today we're going to decide who it is that is the real God. We're going to decide, amen, who it is that the children of Israel are going to serve. Are they going to serve Baal? Amen. Are they going to serve the God that we have begun to turn to? Amen. This false God, this heathen God. Are we going to serve the God, amen, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And we know the story how that Elijah... Amen. He said, let's gather together all the prophets of Baal. There were about 400 of them. He said, we're going to give you the opportunity to call upon your God. And if your God answers by fire, then we're going to serve Baal. But he said, if your God doesn't answer by fire, but if Jehovah answers by fire, then we're going to serve Jehovah. And we know that the Bible says that the prophets of Baal gathered together and they began to worship. They began to sacrifice. They begin to call upon the name of Baal. Amen. Oh, they worked themselves up into a frenzy. I mean, they were screaming and they were jumping and they were dancing and everything that they could to get the attention of their God. Amen. The Bible says that they even came to the place that they began to cut themselves to try to get the attention of Baal. How many knows, amen, that when we serve other gods and other things, amen, that they let us down the moment that we need them the most. Amen. Certainly. Amen. They let it, because it is in that moment that we need them, that we realize that they are powerless and ineffective. Amen. But it says that this carried on through most of the day. Amen. Amen. Elijah. As a matter of fact, Elijah began to say, hey, where is your God? Maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a trip. And they screamed louder and they cut themselves more. And finally he said, okay, you've had your opportunity. He said, get off the altar. Get out. Come. Just move aside. And it says that he called all the people together. And I love the way that it's phrased in the Word of God. And it says that Elijah rebuilt the altar. Amen. I don't know what kind of shape the altar was in. Amen. I don't know what form it was in. Amen. But evidently it was in disrepair. Evidently it had crumbled. Amen. Evidently in all the chaos. Or maybe it was, amen, that it wasn't even the altar that the prophets of Baal had jumped on and screamed on and cut themselves on. Amen. Maybe it was the altar that used to be worshipped on before God. But now the bushes and the weeds, amen, the stones had rolled out of place. Amen. The moss had begun to take over. But the Bible says that Elijah rebuilt the altar. Amen. Amen. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Amen. And it says, and Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And it says, and with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says, when the stone was built and when the sacrifice was laid in place, and when Elijah done everything that the word of God had told him to do, poured the water upon the sacrifice, dug the trench and poured the water, amen, it said that Elijah called upon the name of the Lord, amen, from that altar, amen, amen, from the vicinity of that altar, amen, and he said, God, I'm not here in my own agenda or my own program. I'm not here, God, because I have determined in myself to be here. But God, this is your doings. God, this is your nation. Amen. God, this is your will. This has nothing to do with Elijah. Amen. And he said, God, but prove to us this day. And can I tell you, the Bible says, as we read, that as Elijah prayed that prayer, amen, the Bible says that God answered it with fire. Amen. On that day, all of Israel understood, amen, who the true God was. Amen. Who the God was that would answer in the time of need. Amen. Who it was, amen, that would go with them, that would never leave them or forsake them. Amen. Why God could be called upon, amen, in the time of trouble, in the time of tribulation. Amen. And not be found not listening or not able to extend the helping hand. But they found out that Jehovah was the God, amen, that could answer with fire. Amen. The God that had the power and the ability, amen, to keep the children of Israel through every situation and circumstance of life. But can I tell you, it was only because the altar had been rebuilt. I begin to think about the altar, and God knows that I need to hurry tonight, 8:35. Amen. God, help me to say this in a way that I need to say it tonight. Why? I begin to ask myself. Amen. I went all the way back and I began to look up the history, even in the Old Testament. Amen. Where it was that the altar first arrived on the scene. Amen. I don't know. Maybe there was an altar that was built when Cain and Abel went and offered before the Lord. I can't say for sure. The word of God is not clear. Amen. But all I know, the Bible says that when Noah came off of the ark, amen, whenever he stepped off of the ark and God brought him and his family through the flood and the judgment, amen, when they brought the animals, the Bible says that Noah set up an altar before the Lord and he offered sacrifice upon the altar. Amen. All through the word of God. Amen. The altar was constantly in use. Amen. The altar, I believe in Noah's sense, was used to give thanks and worship to God. Amen. I looked in Abraham's life. I looked in Jacob's life. Amen. And many times they would erect an altar before God. Amen. Just simply to worship God. Amen. Amen. How many know, saints of God, that is imperative in our life that we have a place that we worship? I'm not talking about necessarily a building or a time, but I'm talking about a place in our heart that is full of worship to God. Amen. The altar was used to call upon God for help. All through the word of God, Abraham, amen, Isaac and Jacob and Moses and the children of Israel erected altars before God and called upon God. They brought sacrifices in time of need. Amen. The altar was used to offer sacrifice for pardon and the remission of sin. Amen. We know that was the purpose that God instituted it. Amen. In the temple. Amen. That burnt sacrifice, that altar, amen, sacrifice altar, they would bring that lamb or that bullock, and there they would slay it upon the altar, and they would lay the sacrifice, amen, as the blood ran down, so that the sins of that family would be pushed back for one more year, amen. The altar was used to show absolute commitment to God. Ask Abraham. Amen. Ask Abraham. Abraham went up the mountain, amen, with his boy, his promised son Isaac in tow. Isaac said, Lord, said, Father, I see the pack animal and I see the wood and I see the fire, but where is the sacrifice? Amen. What he didn't know is that God has spoken to him and said, upon the altar on the top of the mountain, I want you to offer your only son, Isaac, up to me to prove to me, amen, amen, that you are faithful and committed. And we know that Abraham said, son, God will provide himself a lamb. And how many knows that God was faithful to do that? Because Abraham was faithful to be fully committed, and that commitment showed upon the altar. Amen. The altar was used as a memorial for other generations to remember what God had done. Saints of God, without an altar, our children would never experience the power of God. Amen. Without an altar, our children will never know what it is, amen, to be full of old time Pentecost. Amen. Without the altar, our children will never know what it is. Amen. To see sicknesses and diseases healed. Amen. Amen. And addicts delivered and set free by the power of God and sinners saved. It all comes through the altar. Amen. Why was it that Elijah thought it was necessary to take something that had been forgotten, amen, and neglected and rebuild it for a moment in history in the children of Israel that would never be forgotten? Because he knew that God moves through the altar. Amen. Amen, saints of God. I want to tell you tonight, that altar, amen, I begin to look at it. I read it again today. God told Moses, he said, Moses, don't you make that altar out of stones that's been hewn by man. He said, but the altar is to be built by stones that are uncut. Because if you cut it and if you work it and you make it look nice and beautiful, you have polluted what the altar is all about. Saints of God, how many knows that in our day and time, we want to take our chisels and our tools and we want to erect something that is acceptable and appealing to this flesh. Come on, somebody. Amen. We want to make it where you know what? And God help me. And I know I've been on my soapbox on this. Amen. I know that folks that I'm great friends with, amen, may be talking to me about it, but that's all right. I'll talk back at them. Amen. But saints of God, I fear tonight, amen, that in our generation, the generation of Brother Dylan, the generation of our teenagers that I wish were here tonight, I fear that we have chiseled out an altar that is appealing to the flesh. This looks pretty, and it looks nice. If it's fun, and if it's got lights and it sparkles, amen. If it's got the right beat, of course, some of us old folks, come on, somebody. If it's not chiseled just right for us, then God's not in it for us either. But saints of God, he said, it's not about what you can make it. It is something that never intended to be fun, easy, or pleasant. But it is a place that you are to die out and you are to surrender. And it's not to be about you, but it is to be about the glory of God and the will of God. Amen. Coming to pass in your life. The altar was never something that was supposed to appeal to the flesh of a person. Everything else in the temple. Listen to me tonight. I don't want to get stuck too long on this point, but everything else in the temple was very beautiful. Did not people come from other nations and many miles just to look at this temple that Solomon had built? The gold and the silver, I mean the beautiful architecture, everything about it. But yet, you know what, in the court, the first thing that you saw when you walked through that outer court gate as you approached the temple, amen, the first thing that caught your attention, amen, was an old, just bloody, let me tell you something, this altar, every single day of the year, amen, many times a day, can you imagine how many people were in Israel? Can you imagine? It wasn't just on Sundays that they brought their lamb. Come on, somebody. But can you imagine the continual flow as people led their sacrifice for the atonement of their sin or to push it back? Amen. And moment after moment, hour after hour, day after day, week after week, month after month, amen, animal after animal, sacrifice after sacrifice was laid upon this altar. It wasn't appealing. It wasn't pretty. But can I tell you, saints of God, it was where the blessings of God flowed from. Amen. It was what allowed the glory of God to remain behind that veil in the temple, because you can look in the Word of God. And saints of God, you can easily point out the condition of the altar by the condition of the people. That's truth tonight, church. Anytime the children of Israel were defeated or oppressed in bondage, anytime they were in famine, anytime there were plagues upon them and sickness upon them, you could always go to the altar and find that the altar was broken down. Come on. But saints of God, every time they were blessed, come on now, every time their harvest was plentiful, every time the diseases were away from them, amen, every time that they were victorious over their enemies, every time that they had, amen, that their own kingdom was exalted among the nations around them, you could go and you would find an altar, amen, that had been repaired, amen, and that sacrifices were being made upon it, amen, the condition of the people was a direct result of the condition of the altar in the temple. Saints of God, and listen to me today, the altar, and I believe I mentioned it Sunday night, the altar was a place, if you look at it, it was a place, first of all, of faith, okay? Because that person had to believe to pick that best lamb out of the bunch, to pick that perfect bullock out of the herd that they could take to the marketplace and get a good price for, but instead take that spotless lamb, that lamb without blemish, that lamb that didn't have a dirty streak in it or a limp to it, but lead that perfect lamb to that place of sacrifice, that altar. There had to be a faith in that person's heart. Amen. You see, everyone that brought a lamb to the sacrifice or to the altar was someone who is in covenant with God. Come on, somebody. Because that was part of the old covenant. They had decided, I'm going to believe what the word of God, amen, has said. I'm going to believe what God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to put my faith in it, in my life in it. You see, when they led that lamb up, they understood they were sinners and they were unworthy. They understood that by law they were to die because of the sins that they had committed. But there was a faith in their heart. Amen. That at the altar their sins would be remitted for a time. At the altar they would find hope and forgiveness. At the altar they would find life. You see, the altar was a place that their faith was greater than any time before. Amen. When they seen the priest put their hand upon the head of the sacrifice, amen, and cut that sacrifice's neck until the blood flowed forth and laid the meat upon the sacrifice. Amen. They understood, and their faith was that the word of God would be fulfilled just as it said it would. Amen. The altar is a place of unwavering faith. The altar is also a place of complete surrender. You see, because the altar is always recognized as a place of death, a place where something that lived dies. And saints of God, in our lives tonight, I'm so thankful, Brother Dylan, that we don't have a big old lump of stones up here, that you had to bring a lamb up here this evening that I had to take care of, that I had to kill it, lay it upon. I'm just glad we're not in that old covenant anymore. I'm thankful that we're not in a covenant that just pushes our sins back. I'm thankful in a covenant, saints of God, that removes them as far as the east is from the west. Covers them till they just don't exist anymore. Amen. But saints of God, you see the altar in our lives. I know it's not about this wooden bench up here. It's not about a pile of stones out in the driveway or out in our yards at home or in the middle of the living room, whatever the case is. But saints of God, it's about a place in our hearts tonight. Amen. That it seems like in the church world today has become broken down and in disarray. Amen. Amen. A place, saints of God, that if we'll build it back up, a place of faith. Amen. Unwavering. Amen. Undying faith in the word of God. Amen. That if I can call upon the name of God, God will answer. Amen. That if I'll put my faith in the word of God, it's going to keep me through the test of times. It'll redeem me like it said it would. It'll heal me like it said it would. It'll deliver me like it said it would. Amen. A place of undying faith. But saints of God, also a place that we come to, that we lay ourselves upon this proverbial altar and say, God, it is not about about me, but it is about you. It is about my will and my way dying out until I don't exist and until you live through me. What is Romans chapter 12, verse 1? Amen. We've been reading it at school every morning this whole month. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What are you talking about, Brother Chris? When they would come, they would present that spotless lamb or bullock to the priest, and that sacrifice life would be taken and laid upon the altar, and it would be burned until nothing else existed. Saints of God, what Paul said, amen, what it is, what God's will for you is for you to build an altar in your life, an altar of faith and consecration, but a place that you die out to everything except for God. Amen. And you give yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. An altar. I wonder how many of us has a place like that tonight, where faith and surrender merges into one. Come on, because we all have faith or we wouldn't be here tonight. There's a measure of faith in every one of us. The Bible says that God gives every man a measure of faith. But saints of God, when faith and surrender merges into one, something spectacular happens. There's never been a time that someone built an altar to the Lord and came in faith and surrender that God didn't show up in a miraculous and awesome way in their life. But saints of God, in this day and time that we live, we have conformed to the world. Because Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed. You see, because the world's model is this thing is about my way and how I want it done, and my strength and my ability and who I am. How many know, saints of God, that as long as that is our model, amen, then we are on a path never to experience the power and the grace of God the way that He desires for us to. I believe it is no wonder that our churches today, amen, saints of God, and I'm telling you, I'm not saying this in condemnation, because if anybody needs to be condemned, it is myself tonight. Amen. The Bible says that it has to start right up here with the priest and with the prophets and with the pastors. Amen. It doesn't need to start back there anywhere, but it needs to start right here. Amen. Behind that place of leadership. But saints of God, I've been reading. I told you, been studying. Amen. Those old time experiences. Amen. And I'm not talking about just here and there and there and here and once in a while, but I'm talking about every time they met together, the miraculous happened. Every time they come together, the supernatural entered in. Amen. To that was natural. Amen. Saints of God, I'm not talking about just a touch here and a shout there. Amen. I'm not just talking about a good message over here, but I'm talking about every time they came together, the power of God fell. Amen. Where sicknesses were completely alleviated. Amen. Those that were bound and oppressed were delivered. Amen. It didn't take somebody having to, amen, go through a 12-step program. It was the power of God. Where does that come from, church? I'll tell you, it didn't come, amen, getting up off the couch, amen, watching the television before he walked into the church house. It came because somebody had an altar built, amen, of faith and consecration and surrender. And it was because of that altar, amen, that it impacted and affected and allowed the power of God to fall in somebody's life. I believe with all of my heart. I've prayed, I've sought God. God, how do we build a church? Anybody else pray that prayer? I hope you do. God, how do we build the kingdom of God? God, how do we build a youth group? God, I'm thankful for Dylan. I'm thankful for the youth at Haley and Kenzie, and I'm thankful for Kaylee and who am I missing? There's one or two that comes, Iran. I'm thankful for the ones that come through and consider themselves. But how do we build a youth group? How do we build a youth group? And not just the ones that we have be on fire for God, but I'm talking about that fire catch on. I tell you this, saints of God, we can have the best program there is to have. We can have it. We can have the best. Saints of God, I'm thankful for the music we have. I'm thankful for the songs we sing. I'm thankful for the singers, the musicians, all those kind of things. But let me tell you something. Amen. We have awesome, great musicians and singers. But we could go out and we could find the best that the world has ever known. Put them on that platform. But let me tell you something. That's not going to impact one heart. Unless... there's been an altar built where somebody has said, you know what, God, it's not about me. But I just believe that if I will come and if I will offer myself and make myself available for the glory of God, I just believe that if I will sell out to this thing with everything, I'm not talking about do it halfway or partway, but I'm talking about sell out completely and die out to who I am and allow you to live through me. You know what I believe, saints of God? I don't believe it doesn't matter what song you sing. It doesn't matter what beat the music has. That is irrelevant. You know what matters and you know what makes the difference is when the altar... somebody, maybe it's just two or three, maybe it's just four or five, but somebody thought it was important enough to build an altar, a place of faith and consecration and surrender, and say, God, don't let them see me. I don't care if anybody even knows my name, God. Just pour your power through my life. I believe with all of my heart it is from the altar that we experience God's provision and power. It doesn't have to be this front pew or this bench or the edge of the platform. But let me tell you something. Anywhere that faith and surrender comes together as one, you're going to experience the power of God. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times I've been driving down the road and I built an altar. There's been a few times I've been sitting back there behind that desk and I built an altar. I never had to even get on my knees. I begin to think about in the Old Testament and all through the Word of God. God help me tonight. Amen. There's some stuff I got to get to, and I know it's getting late. Amen. Before I go there, in Leviticus chapter number 6, verse 12 through 13, you can look it up, note it, mark it, go look it up tonight and read it. Amen. There's a commandment given to the priest, and it says every morning when you get out of bed, every morning when you rise up, you burn upon the altar. You put that wood, and don't ever, the Bible says in verse 13, of Leviticus 6, he says, don't ever let the fire go out upon the altar. What does that mean? There's never a day that should go by that the altar is not tended to, that place of faith and surrender is not tended to, that it's not built up, that it's not repaired, that the fire of God is not burning upon it. Saints of God, I wonder tonight, how long has it been since the fire burned upon your altar? I wonder how long it's been since the fire burned upon your altar. I wonder how long it's been since you got up and said, God, I can't start my day without burning upon the altar of God. God, I can't start my... I know I've got to get to town, and I know I've got to get to school, and I know I've got to get to work, but God, I can't walk. I can't afford. My family needs me to light a fire upon the altar, right? And to burn a sacrifice and cause the fire to rage upon the altar of God. That place of faith and that place of consecration and surrender. Too many of us walk out of our houses without dying out to self upon the altar of God, and we live weak and destitute of the power of God. And saints of God, our churches are suffering, our families are suffering, our children are suffering, and our communities are suffering because our altars are cold. The only thing that remains is an ash from years gone by. God said, don't ever let the fire go out. I believe with all of my heart that when we call out to God from a place of faith and surrender, that God will show up. I thought about Abraham. Can I tell you that Abraham had his promise renewed from the altar? Go look it up. Genesis, I believe it's chapter number 8. Maybe it's chapter number 12, verse number 8. Abraham had his promise renewed from the altar. He had wandered down into Egypt where he didn't have any business being. Almost got his wife taken from him. Almost got his life taken. But God had mercy and spared him. And when he came up, back up out of Egypt, the Bible says he came to the place that God had appeared unto him and to the altar was built before. And it says that he built another altar before God. And there from the altar, God showed him the promise that had been given to him. Can I tell you, it was from the altar that the children of Israel, and I've said this earlier, their blessings came because of the altar. When there was fire upon the altar, when the altar was tended to, the children of Israel were blessed beyond measure. I thought about Samson. We ridicule him. I do. I persecute him. I judge him. I condemn him. I demean him. But saints of God, can I tell you, down in the midst of that old grinding press and that grinding mill, amen, Samson, I don't think that he probably threw a pile of stones together, but in the heart of Samson, Samson built an altar. And can I tell you, from that altar, the power of Samson and the strength of Samson was renewed as he was led between the pillars of that house. And the Bible says that he killed more in his death of the enemy than he did in all of his life. Amen. Elijah, as we read in Kings, Elijah and the Israelites experienced the power of God. Amen. The fire of God fell. Why? Because of the altar. Amen. The Bible, I read just today, Elijah raised the widow's son. How did he do it? Because Elijah knew what it was to burn upon the altar, church. Amen. I thought about David and his men when they came to Ziklag and found that all of their women, all of their wives, and all of their children had been taken. Everything they possessed had been stolen or burnt. Amen. All the men said that they were going to stone David because of the sorrow of their heart. But what did David do? It doesn't say that he built an altar of wood or stone, but in the heart of David, the Bible says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. What happened, Brother Chris? David burned fire upon the altar. And the Bible says that God spoke and said, David, pursue him, and you will without fail recover it all. Can I tell you, David and his men recovered every wife, they recovered every child, and they recovered everything that was lost because of the altar. If there had never been an altar, there would never have been a desire in David to pursue and a promise to David that he would recover. Amen. Can I tell you that Hannah, amen, barren womb, was made whole and full of life at the altar. Daniel was delivered from the mouths of the lions in the bottom of a lion's den where there were no stone or wood to erect a nice pretty altar, but somewhere in the bottom of that den of lions, Daniel found an altar. And the Bible says that the angel of God showed up and shut the mouths of the lions. I know y'all getting ready to go home tonight. Bear with me. In the belly of a well. Can you imagine what Jonah was experiencing? But in the belly of a well, Jonah built himself an altar. And he burned upon that altar. And can I tell you that from the belly of a well, because of an altar that was erected in the heart of Jonah, God delivered him from certain death. I thought about Paul and Silas. Amen. I know that God sent fire for Elijah, but can I tell you, in the midst of that prison, the Bible says they were in stocks and bonds. Their feet and their hands were locked up. They could not make it to a pile of wood. They could not gather a mound of stones. But can I tell you, in the hearts and the spirits of Paul and Silas, they erected an altar to God. And the Bible says they prayed and sang praises unto him at midnight. Amen. And God sent fire for Elijah, but he sent an earthquake. Amen. For Paul and Silas, and the Bible says that he freed them from the stocks and the bonds. Amen. That every prison door swung open and they were set free. I thought about Peter. Amen. Facing certain death from his captors. Amen. From King Herod. They had him locked into prison. Amen. It said that some church folk got together. Amen. Down in the little country church in town. And it said they began to build it. They didn't build an altar of hands, but they prayed and they sought God all night. What did they do? they built an altar. They didn't come, amen, saying who they were and telling and demanding of God, but they came in faith and surrender. And the Bible says the captors of Peter became as dead men sleeping. Amen. It says that his bonds fell off of him. An angel of God woke him up and the prison doors opened. Why is that? Because of the altar. Saints of God, think of what could happen in your life and in my life if I would repair the altar of God, amen, and burn upon that altar, amen, and allow God to work in my heart. But it comes through the altar. Can I tell you, saints of God, in our lives tonight, if we will rebuild that place of faith and surrender, amen, saints of God, amen, why in the world do we think that we can come and expect something from God if we never surrender to God? Did you know that God killed some folks in the Old Testament because they tended the altar wrong? You know what God was showing them? Look, buddy, this is not about you. How can we expect God to do something amazing for us when we're not willing to surrender? But saints of God, I believe in our hearts that if we will rebuild that place of faith and surrender to God, and from that place of surrender and that place of faith begin to call upon God, I believe that tonight from the altar that the Gospel Lighthouse can experience revival like we've never experienced revival before. I didn't get any amens, but it's the truth. Just let me make this statement real quick, church. When God starts being who He wants to be in us, we're going to have to forget about the nice, comfortable little services. Come on. We're going to have to forget about getting out at 8:30, 8:45, or even 9 o'clock. And if that's what we want, church, then let's just keep doing what we've been doing. If we want to keep being comfortable with the folks that's sitting beside us, let's just keep doing what we've been doing. Because saints of God, when you start climbing up on that altar and burning on the altar and letting God be who He wants to be, and when this pastor starts taking his place up on the altar of God and dying out like I need to die out, amen, allowing God to, let me tell you, there are going to be some folks come in that I'm not comfortable with. Amen. There's going to be some things that upsets my schedules. Amen. I was reading and looking, studying this past week. Can I tell you, saints of God, but I don't think we would mind being here till midnight. Amen. If cancers were falling off of people. Come on, somebody. Amen. If the blind was seeing and the lame was walking. Amen. The deaf was hearing. Amen. You say, Brother Chris, you're just trying to pump us up. Amen. No, that's what we'll experience when the church folk rebuild the altar, church. Can I tell you, those that seem too lost to reach will come in the door, amen, not sit on the pew, but walk to the altar in repentance when the church rebuilds the altar. Can I tell you tonight, those that are addicted and don't think they can break free, amen, will walk out of here without another desire when the church rebuilds the altar of God. Can I tell you, those tonight, amen, whose marriages are broken will be restored and healed. Families will be put back together. Amen, joy will be restored. The power of the Holy Ghost will fall and hope will be given when the altar is rebuilt in the lives of the believers. Hallelujah. I'm talking about rebuilding an altar tonight. Amen. Rebuilding an altar will stir that is apathetic and complacent. Can I tell you, when this living sacrifice is laid upon an altar that is burning hot, amen, in the power of the Holy Ghost, amen, can I tell you, complacency and apathy, amen, selfishness, amen, will begin to be burned away until we don't matter anymore, amen, until we don't exist anymore, until it's not about my program or my agenda, until it's not about my will or my way. All it is about the glory of God being manifested. It's about lives being changed. But saints of God, how long are we going to wait until we rebuild the altar in our life tonight? I tell you this, saints of God, my Bible says he hasn't changed since he dropped fire from heaven for Elijah. Amen. If God can drop fire from heaven for Elijah, he can save my loved ones that are bound and lost. Come on, somebody. He can put my families back together. Amen. He can deliver. He can send revival into a young generation. Amen. That'll bring our schools back to God. Amen. He'll send revivals into our families. But saints of God, how long are we going to wait? Elijah could have said, well, your plan didn't work. Next week I'll come back and rebuild the altar. It's getting pretty late. Dairy Queen's about to close. I tell you what, we'll come back next Sunday and rebuild the altar. He said, come here. Together here. We're going to go ahead and rebuild it now. Because we don't want to wait any longer to experience the power of God. Because we need him. And we need to know that he is God. Saints of God, I want to tell you something. I believe this with all of my heart. I said this a few services ago. And I believe this with all of my heart. When the Gospel Lighthouse gets ready to rebuild their altars, that's when we're going to see the glory of God. I'm not talking about a good service here and a good service there. But I'm talking about in a way that is going to change our lives, church. I believe that. You may not believe it. If you choose not to, that's up to you. Saints of God. And this is the thing. If our teenagers, the two, three, or four that we have, would be teenagers that would sell out to God,
yeah, come on,
and rebuild altars, yes, that teenagers have put off on the old folks to build.
Yeah, come on.
Come on. Well, I'm young, and you know, it's my time to have fun. It's my time to have a good, it's my time to go out and, you know, hey, I'm talking about good things. I'm not talking about bad things. Good things. Let the old folks care. Let me tell you something. God's looking for some teenagers that's really willing to rebuild an altar.
Amen, amen.
I'm not tooting my horn. I'm not blowing my horn. Because God knows I have fallen more than anybody alive, anybody on this earth. I will tell you that I'm the worst among you, and I believe that with all of my heart tonight. But you know what? I thank God. There has been times that I've sat and I've thought, God, I wish I could have experienced what it was to play a game of basketball or baseball or football. And I'm not against that because my boys played one of them played basketball. They both played baseball. I'm not against those things. But you know what I'm thankful for tonight? I'm thankful for the times, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, on those Wednesday nights when all my other buddies had something better to do. On those Sunday nights when all my school buddies weren't anywhere to be found, just a little handful of teenagers at a little country church, I'm thankful for those times that I laid behind the altar. All the old folks, forgive me, I'm not calling you old, all the older folks got up, went on to the house. The lights were dimmed. But I wouldn't take anything for those times that I burn up on the altar. Because can I tell you, those times is what kept me. What kept me going through times that I didn't think I could go. Those times that I laid and burned upon the altar of God, church, were the reason why I could stand and look those buddies right square in the eye. And say, I don't need what you're offering me. And I don't need to go where you're going. I believe that, church, because let me tell you something. This boy don't have the strength to do it. But it was because there was an altar that had been built somewhere. I believe that, church. And you know what? Not just for the young guys, but for us older ones too. Saints of God, it's time to stop talking about what we used to do or what they used to do. And it's time for us to do it. I'm not asking you to shout like them, dance like them, sing like them, or preach like them. But you know what? If we can pray like them, we can build that altar. Amen. If we can surrender ourselves in a way and have faith in a way, I believe, saints of God, God will do things for us beyond what we can ever even ask or think. How many believes that tonight? How many believes that? I don't even want any musicians to come tonight. If you need to go, you can go. But I need to pray tonight, church. There is something burning in my heart. There is something stirring in my heart tonight, church. If I would just die out to this flesh and quit looking for that pretty, beautiful, appealing place that's easy to tend to, and just bring myself to that altar of faith and surrender. I just believe God wants to do something for us, church. Tonight, if you're here and you say, Brother Chris, I know that my altar is in disarray. I'm sure the fire burned out several days ago or weeks ago. Or maybe you might just say, you know what, there's just a little flame flickering. But tonight, more than emotion, more than just responding to a message, Brother Chris, I want to commit myself to creating a place in my heart where surrender and faith comes together every day. And it creates a cry to God that God just can't resist. Because I want to see His glory and His power and His might. And I know that it comes through the altar. I want you to come find your place to pray. Maybe it's kneeling at your pew. Maybe it's kneeling up here. But saints of God, if we'll rebuild that altar, can I tell you, God will show Himself mighty in our hearts. Amen. Let's pray tonight. God bless you. We love you, church.